to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, book of Hebrews, chapter 4. We'll read verses 14 through verse 16. The message will come from verses 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The book of Hebrews, as we know, was written to Jews who had been saved by the grace of God. They were now living their lives under the influence and bombardment of unbelievers, surrounded by ritualistic religion. They were living in the midst of incessant threats, persecution from their countrymen. Their lives, of course, were filled with turmoil and difficulty, persecution. In the midst of all this, many of the saved Hebrews were struggling in making a break from, a complete break from the forms and ceremonies of their old life, still hanging on to Judaistic habits that had been such a big part of their life. And many were tempted to cast aside identification with Christ, and many already had. And the writer of Hebrews writes to admonish these saved Hebrews. He writes to motivate them to persevere. He writes to motivate them to have faith, to show them the superiority of Jesus Christ and what they possessed in Jesus Christ. He writes to embolden them to press on toward God, not to be sucked in by the surrounding influence of mere religion. So all through the book, he calls their attention to Jesus Christ. He's encouraging them not to lose heart, but to keep advancing toward Christ. In our text, he again calls attention to Christ. And just prior to the text, he spoke of a rest for the child of God, and that most fail to enter that rest, and most fail to enjoy that rest. And what he's saying in our text is, in Christ you find this rest. In Christ you find everything that you need, everything that you'll ever need. So here we are today, in an age of technological advancement and achievement, and yet, the world is more troubled, maybe, than it's ever been. And the truth is, though we are in an age of advancement, you can watch it before your eyes, we are cycling back to primitive paganism. All this advancement, and we're going all the way back to primitive paganism. All the tremendous inventions that are intended to make life easier, to make life more enjoyable. And yet, they do make life easier to a large extent. I don't know about more enjoyable. Yet, none of these inventions have any application to the heart and to the soul. And so as a result, there is rampant dissatisfaction, pain, and sorrow at a level that I've never seen before. And sadly, all of this discontent and dissatisfaction and disillusionment has affected even many of God's people. And sadly, many of God's people have picked up the jaded emptiness of the world that's all around them, trying to fill their lives with the very same things that the world is trying to fill their lives with, all the creature comforts. And therefore, their lives, just like people of the world, their lives are marked by pain and hurt and confusion and trouble because they've lost focus upon the one who is the source of all our sufficiency. So there is a great need for God's people to be called back to a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what he's doing here in our text. When there is an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, you find rest, you find him to be the resource of everything. The truth is, the saved by grace, the reason they are overwhelmed and troubled and distressed and joyless are basically the same reasons the world is. And one of the reasons is what we find here in our text. What we read here is very rich in truth. And what we need is for God to plant it deep within our hearts, that we would be encouraged and motivated to a greater and deeper, more meaningful personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I wanted to take the main thought of the message this morning from verse 14. We have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And I want to speak this morning on Jesus, our great high priest. First of all, just consider the office of the high priest. Our text designates Jesus as the great high priest. The words great and high are used to emphasize the supreme dignity and excellency and sufficiency of our priest, Jesus Christ. Throughout the book of Hebrews, he is declared to be a priest. The word priest occurs 26 times in the book of Hebrews. And they all relate to Christ, whether directly or indirectly. Many times it refers to the Old Testament priesthood, but that is indirectly referring to Christ. So 26 times the word priest, and it all has reference to Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews 3 and verse 1 that we're to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. In chapter 5 and verse 5, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Chapter 6, verse 20, we see that Jesus made a high priest forever. Forever. In chapter 7, verse 23 and 24, and they truly were many priests, speaking of the Old Testament, because they were not suffered or permitted to continue by reason of death. So one would follow the other. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come. Now, the book of Hebrews expounds on the Old Testament types of Christ. So much so that it really serves as a commentary on the book of Leviticus. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the ceremonial law. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the book of Leviticus. He's not only the fulfillment, but Hebrews makes it plain that he's better than anything that typified him. Christ is better. Notice Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow, that's an outline, of good things to come, and not the very image of the things that can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. And you read on there and you see that Christ is the fulfillment. And Christ is better than whatever it is that typified or foreshadowed him. So what is the priesthood? Well, in order to understand Christ as our great high priest, we do need to understand something. We need to understand some things about the Old Testament priesthood. In the Old Testament, it was through the priest that God communed with man. And as such, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the revelation of God. So what a blessing it is that we have a great high priest. We have one who is the revelation of God, Jesus Christ. Now in the Old Testament, the priest also communicated with God from man. In the Old Testament, if a man wanted to commune with God, he would go through the priest. Now, the priest would sit down and he would hear the petitions of the troubled and the oppressed, of the poor and the broken who had come to him from the furthest ends of Israel with all of their burdens and perplexities. And they would present their requests to the priest. And the priest in turn would present those requests to God. And all of this points to Jesus Christ. It is all saying there is one coming who is going to be the priest, Jesus Christ. We read of Christ in Hebrews 7 verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the priest makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ is our priest. He makes intercession for us. Also in the Old Testament, the priest dealt with matters of sin and judgment for the people. We read in Exodus 28 and verse 29 concerning Aaron the priest, Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So the priest would hear confessions of sin, they would hear pleadings of pardon, and then they would present those to God. And again, this points to Jesus Christ. Again, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How wonderful it is to have a high priest. We confess our sins to our high priest, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ takes our pleadings and presents them to God. And they're perfectly 100% acceptable because of who Jesus is. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ. The priest also would console the sorrowful. He was one to whom the sorrowful could tell their griefs. And then again, the priest would present those griefs to God. Again, all of this points to Christ. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's our high priest. We go to Christ with all of our griefs, with all of our burdens, and Jesus Christ presents them to the Father. The priest also would hear the desires and the wishes of the people. When an Israelite had some great longing, some overwhelming desire, they would ask the priest to present such before the Lord. And again, it's all points to Jesus Christ and Him making intercession for us. The priest would instruct the people. He would rebuke the people. And Jesus Christ, as our priest, does this as well. So our text declares we have a great high priest. So we know that we have one who communicates God to us. That's Jesus Christ. We have one whom we can communicate with God through. Jesus Christ. We have one in whom we can confess and plead for pardon. We have one who we can tell our griefs and our desires and our longings. And our priest never dies. He never changes hands. He lives to present us to God. To present our communication and our confession and our pleadings and our griefs and our desires and our longings to God. So all the great blessing of those words, we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. The priest also would offer sacrifice for the people. The Old Testament priest would have to do so continually. And even had to do so for himself because he wasn't sinless. And we read of Christ in Hebrews 9 verse 28. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. Christ made one offering for sin. What was that offering? It was Himself. Ephesians 5 verse 2, Christ, having given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. We have a priest. We have one who made one offering for our sin before God. The priest also, and as they went through their ceremony in the tabernacle in the temple, would come forth to bless the people. In the Old Testament, when the priestly ministry in the most holy place of the tabernacle or temple was finished, he would come forth and he would bless the people. We have a great high priest, and through him all blessings flow. So let's look at the we have this fact is established. We have a priest. Let's look at the person and character of our high priest. He's identified in verse 14 of our text as Jesus, the Son of God. Who's your priest? Well, he's Jesus, the Son of God. He's my priest. There's a twofold identity in those words. Our great high priest is Jesus, the Savior from sin. His name, Jesus. His name is Jesus. In Philippians 2, verse 9, we read that that is a name which is above every name. So I have a high priest. His name is Jesus. And that name is above every name. It is a name that points to God's purpose, the salvation of His people from their sin. It's a name that points to the condition of God's people. They are in bondage to sin. And it is a name that points to man's need. They need deliverance from sin. So our high priest is Jesus. And it is in Him that I have pardon. It is in Him that I find the righteousness of God. The only righteousness acceptable to God is His own. And in my high priest, I find that righteousness. In Him I find justification. In Him I find cleansing and reconciliation with God. I find acceptance with God. In Christ, I am accepted by God. My high priest is Jesus. In Him I have riches and I have hope. Our great high priest is Jesus. It is a name that speaks of power. It is a name that speaks of His grace. It is a name that speaks of the power, the grace, and the love of God. Our high priest's name is Jesus. And He is such a high priest that He impacts and alters and transforms death and darkness and brokenness and hurt and hopelessness and weakness and weariness and anguish and sorrow and disappointment and defeat and chaos and uncertainty and fear. He transforms all of these things. What a great high priest! His name is Jesus. We're also told something else about Him. He is the Son of God. Remember when Jesus declared Himself in the book of John, He declared Himself to be the Son of God, and the Jews took up stones to stone Him. Why? He made Himself equal with God. So that very title, the Son of God, simply saying He is God. I have a high priest today. It's not a mere man. I have a high priest. He is the Son of God. He is God Himself. Our great high priest is everything that God is. Hebrews 7 verse 3, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. That's my high priest. Hebrews 7 verse 26, for such a high priest became us, who is holy. How holy? As holy as God. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. And He is separate from sinners. And He's made higher than the heavens. Notice verse 15 of our text. He's without sin. He's without sin. You go back to the Old Testament priesthood. That again, the whole point of it was to point to Jesus Christ. Was to typify Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of it. But you go back there. And you go through that entire line of Old Testament priests. None of them were sinless. They were just as sinful as the ones who came to them. But I have a high priest that's without sin. He's sinless. He is Jesus, the Son of God. Which speaks of the great marvel that He would be my high priest. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. What a marvel that He would stoop to be my high priest. Now, as our high priest, he's our advocate. 1 John 2, verse 1, if any man sin, and we all do, we have right now an advocate with the Father. And then he's identified Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's our advocate. What does an advocate do? An advocate pleads the cause of another. So as my high priest, Jesus Christ is in heaven with the Father, pleading my cause with God. And he's sinless. So therefore he's accepted by God. Advocate is one who defends. He's my defender. One who vindicates. So in light of the office of high priest, what a blessing to read those words. We have a great high priest. Notice also verse 14 concerning our high priest. That is passed into the heavens. He's passed into the heavens. In the Old Testament, the priest who was a type and a foreshadow of Christ would go through three areas to get to the presence of God. If you can just refer to the tabernacle, you have a court, an outer court, just vacant land, basically. Then you go and you have a holy place. And then beyond that was the Holy of Holies. So three places. The priest would go through the outer court. He would then go through the holy place. And he eventually would enter the Holy of Holies. And there again, all of this is pointing to Jesus Christ. He would, in that holy, most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of God's presence. And upon that Ark of the Covenant, he would take the blood that had been taken in sacrifice for the sins of the people. And he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. And when he got in there, there was no place to sit. He performed his duty and he got out. Why did he get out? He got out before God would kill him. Because you have a sinful man in the presence of a holy God. He couldn't just meander around in there. He did his duty, and he got out. Again, all of this points to Jesus Christ. But our great high priest is passed into the heavens. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, we read of the third heaven. Like the Old Testament priest, Jesus Christ, our priest, would go through three areas to get into the very presence of God. He would pass through the atmospheric heaven, the clouds. He would pass through the stellar heavens, the stars. And then the third heaven, the abode of God. When he got there, what did he do? He carried with him the satisfactory atonement that he had made. And he's now in the presence of God. My great high priest has passed into the heavens victoriously for me with the atonement that he has made for me. And then we read in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 that when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down The Old Testament priest didn't do that, because the Old Testament priest's work wasn't done. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 10, verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. So unlike the Old Testament priest, our high priest sits. He sits at the right hand of God. He sits there as the honored one for us. He sits there as the accomplisher of His work. He sits there as the conqueror of His foes and as an intercessor to plead for us. And He sits there as the channel of blessing. All the blessings of salvation flow through our high priest, Jesus Christ. And there He sits, the right hand of God. Now notice concerning the character of our high priest, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Just stop right there a minute. Touched. That means reached and affected. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It speaks of His tenderness. It speaks of His compassion. Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Notice as you read verse 15, it does not say touched by, but touched with. Big difference. Big difference. You and I, many times, can be touched by the sorrow of someone else without necessarily being touched with their sorrow. Many can have feeling for somebody, but it's not necessarily feeling that's shared. Touched with. That means He shares our feeling. That is, a heartache, a grief comes upon us, and Jesus Christ, our high priest, is moved in harmony with that grief. He's not simply touched by it. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, He feels with His people. He's not indifferent. Now, the sense of feeling is more intense, more vivid, than the sense of knowledge or sight. He knows our pains. He knows our infirmities. But it's something more than knowing. He's touched with them. He sees them. But it's more than seeing. He's touched with. In other words, He stoops continually to us. We sing the song, "No one cares or no one understands like Jesus." How true that is. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meet Him at the throne of mercy. He's willing, or He's waiting for you there. No one understands like Jesus. Every woe He sees and feels. Tenderly He whispers comfort, and the broken heart He heals. No one understands like Jesus. When the foes of life assail, you should never be discouraged. Jesus cares and will not fail. No one understands like Jesus when you falter on the way. Though you fail Him, sadly fail Him, He will pardon you today. Amen. And the chorus goes, no one understands like Jesus when the days are dark and grim. No one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on Him. That's our high priest. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I have a high priest today. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. And he has me unceasingly. I'm on his heart unceasingly before God, interceding for me all the time. And he does so with an unequaled capacity for understanding and sympathizing with me. I'll be honest. I don't need you, and you don't need me to understand or to sympathize with. It's nice when someone understands, and it's nice when someone sympathizes with us. It's nice. We don't need it because we've got one who does understand. And we've got one who does sympathize with us. But I need more than a sympathy. I need his resources. I need resources. Need more than sympathy. And not only does he stoop to us in sympathy, but he has the resources that I need. And he provides them. Notice verse 16. We can obtain from him mercy and grace, and that grace helps us in time of need. So he has the resources that we need. So what wonderful words it is. We have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. I don't need man as a priest. I do need Jesus. And he is the perfect high priest. He is the revelation of God to me. He hears my petitions, my confessions, my pleadings for pardon. And Jesus Christ feels with my infirmities, and he carries those to God the Father. And he consoles us as our high priest. And he instructs, and he reproves. So whatever is going on in life, this is certain. I have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. Someone's dying, and someone will say, you want us to call the priest. Well, yeah, if you know him, it sure wouldn't hurt to call upon him. His name's Jesus. If you know him and you can call upon him, oh, please do so. But his name is Jesus. He's the only priest there is today. And he's the only priest that we need today. And praise be to God that he is so loving, so merciful, so gracious, that he would stoop to such as ourselves and be a great high priest to us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.